98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Friday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show. Here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, we are live from the Auction Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo!
What's up, Birdie?
Oh, we are just rolling along on a Friday.
Rolling.
3 football games left in the National Football League.
2 games. Suns tonight
against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and then against the Spurs on Sunday, if I remember right.
Yeah, it's a game I've kind of been pointing towards DA coming back in that Spurs game.
Okay, so that could happen then, potentially. And, it's going to be a busy sports weekend. There's a lot going on. ASU U of A tomorrow as well. We got a lot going on. That's in college basketball. We'll actually talk about that a little bit later. Some really interesting comments, not only from Tommy Lloyd about how he feels going into a rivalry game, but about a popular Tucson columnist and his belief that the window has closed on Bobby Hurley. We'll talk about all that coming up. But speaking of windows closing, or at least maybe being forced shut as we speak, let's weigh in on our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
Story first came out from DevilsDigest.com, which is affiliated with Rivals.com. Offensive coordinator Zach Hill from ASU resigning due to the NCAA review findings. According to the report, Herm Edwards has informed the team that offensive coordinator Zach Hill resigned his post due to findings related to this NCAA review of the alleged recruiting violations that have kind of been hanging over the program for the better part of the last 8 or 9 months or so. Apparently, that investigation implicated wrongdoing by Zach Hill. Of course, Gambo, it was just a couple days ago that the team fired former NFL head coach, Super Bowl winning coach Brian Billick, to be somewhat of an offensive analyst and, you know, kind of consultant, so to speak. So there's a lot to unpack here. Let's talk about kind of what you've been able to find out, and let's just see where it goes from there.
Well, none of this took ASU by surprise. This has been in the works for a while. The 3 coaches were put on administrative leave with pay last summer, and a couple of weeks ago, what I was told, they received letters from ASU attorneys on campus that you either resign or be fired. So the ties were severed at that time. It was about 2-3 weeks ago that this happened. So there was no way that any of those 3 would have been able to come back. Now, in the meantime, they elevated Justin Wood to full-time tight ends coach. He was an interim. And Bobby Wade to full-time wide receiver coach. He was an interim. And what I've been told is that they had been vetted and cleared of any wrongdoing, that ASU would never have elevated these 2 to their positions had they been involved with any wrongdoing. So they were vetted, they were cleared. And with Zach, it's been a 7-month timeline here. And unfortunately, the timeline for, kind of from ASU's perspective, they put the 3 guys on administrative leave, and then they continued to investigate, and you got the NCAA review, and ASU was doing a review, and he ended up getting caught up in it, and he ends up resigning. The review is still ongoing. It's going to take a few more months before it's completed, but Zach Hill, from what I understood, was caught up in it, and him and his attorneys decided to resign.
You mentioned the other 3. Let's put the other 3 we've known about for a while now, but just in case ASU fans or in general, you've forgotten who the 3 are. Chris Hawkins, Prentice Gill, and Adam Brenneman were the 3 individuals with whom their employment with the school has now ended. Through a variety of different means they have ended, but the end result is the same. They are no longer with the program, and now 4 of Herm Edwards' 10 assistants have kind of been caught up in this now. Now, switching over to what Sun Devil Source wrote about this, and our friend Chris Cartman, whom we've had on the show many, many times, he wrote about the story. He wrote about the 3 coaches who were put on the paid administrative leave. He wrote about Prentice Gill, Chris Hawkins, and Adam Brenneman, the names that I just mentioned. He writes, athletic department officials have privately expressed concern to colleagues and others about the serious nature and far-reaching implications the case ASU is facing, which is expected to include level one violations in a notice of allegations by the NCAA later this year. Fast forward to this other part of the story, again on sundevilsource.com. NCAA investigators have been told in interviews that in addition to Brenneman, Gill, and Hawkins, other ASU coaches participated in impermissible local meetings with recruits, including head coach Herm Edwards and associate head coach Antonio Pierce, two people with knowledge of those conversations told SunDevilSource.com.
Yeah, we're going to go into detail a little bit later about Herm Edwards and Antonio Pierce, and I'll tell you exactly what I, you know, what I'm able to find out about this. What, you know, what I do know is that there was a period of from like March to October where during the pandemic there was, you know, there was nothing going on at the university. That would have been the time that, you know, you could have brought, you know, recruits in illegally and shown them around and did all of that stuff. And because that was right around March 19th, the university shut down during the pandemic. And it went, I believe, through October. There was very few people in the building at all during that time. So that would have been the time where it would have been very easy for a coach or coaches to bring recruits in without ever being seen. So obviously there was a disgruntled ex-coach who sent some documents to and kind of blew this whole thing up, and that's where we are right now. And ASU, I'm expecting, Bernsey, that there will be punishment along the lines of loss of scholarships and no bowl games allowed and things like that. And I'll get into Herm and Antonio in a little bit when we talk about this next go around, because we're running out of time here, but we will get into it. But remember, that was March, April, May, June, July, August, September. You're talking about a 7-month period where that building was almost empty. And that, again, would have been very easy for a coach or coaches to bring recruits in without being seen by anybody because there was nobody there.
Yeah. The reaction around college football, and this is kind of the part of the segment now where we'll shift from here's what we know to here's what we think about what we know. The reaction around college football, I'll just read a couple of tweets today as this story came down. John Wilner, our buddy from the San Jose Mercury News, he writes, first, quality work from SunDevilSource.com. Second, nobody should be surprised by this. Third, what a mess. Stuart Mandel, college football writer with The Athletic, retweeting a tweet from Bruce Feldman, also a college football writer for The Athletic, who writes, ASU has now forced out 4 of Herm Edwards' 10 on-field assistants since last summer in the wake of the investigation into alleged recruiting violations. Mandel writes, but not the head coach or the coordinator who's allegedly at the center of the whole thing. Now, we're kind of teasing forward, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. The one that I'm focused on the most was also a tweet from a gentleman who writes for The Athletic, Gambo, and his name is Chris Vanini. He's a national college football reporter, and he writes this morning, quote, there's been a lot of frustration around college sports over how blatant the alleged ASU violations were and how more hasn't been done at the top yet. Now, if he means by at the top, does he mean the NCAA or does he mean ASU's own internal investigation?
Both, probably.
Probably both, I would imagine.
Probably both. And I think that there will be more heads that roll. I think there will be more heads that roll. But I don't think this is the end of the program, and I think the program will get punished for this. I think the program will get punished. Remember this. Just remember this. Antonio Pierce was taken off of the recruiting trail.
Yes.
About 6-7 months ago. It's basically a self-inflicted punishment by ASU. Antonio Pierce has not been able to go out and recruit. They put him on. They took him off 6-7 months ago, and they haven't reinstated him and given him the ability to go out there and recruit. Now, this investigation is ongoing. It hasn't stopped. It hasn't ended. So it is continuing, and I expect that it's going to go for a few more months, but it is not over yet. But as you see, initially, three things happened. One, they put coaches on administrative leave with pay as they went over, and eventually they were told to either resign or be fired by the ASU attorneys. That was one. Number two, they decided to elevate some of the coaches that they vetted, like Bobby Wade and Justin Wood, and felt like, okay, these guys were not involved. That was two. Three, the offensive coordinator, he's out. Probably saw the writing on the wall as the investigation went forward. maybe got caught up in it, so now he's out. That's the three steps we're in right now. There is another fourth step and a fifth step coming.
Oh, sure. And I think the question to me right now is how many things can ASU do to themselves in terms of self-punishment to avoid additional punishments from the NCAA, right? I mean, because
additional punishment coming.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing them making that effort right now, right? They're kind of punishing themselves, and we're taking Antonio Pierce off of the recruiting trail, and we're doing this to this coach, and we're doing that to that coach. Eventually, at some point, are they doing it in an effort to satisfy the NCAA so the NCAA doesn't bring anything else on them? Or is the NCAA going to say, yeah, that's nice. Nice try, guys. Well, here's a little bit more because you didn't go far enough in punishing yourself for what you've done.
Yeah, it's the latter. It's the latter. You show you're being proactive. You took the three guys off administrative leave. You didn't fire them. You did that immediately. Okay, so you are proactive. You take Antonio Pierce off the recruiting trail. He can't recruit. So you're being proactive. But you know full well that it's that more is going to come. I mean, that's not like, hey, you guys were great. You fired the three coaches and your offense coordinator just resigned. And that's not going to be enough. But it is showing that they're proactive and they're trying to get out ahead of it and, you know, not just sitting there and just acting like, hey, you know what? Everything's okay. Everything's peaches and creams. Now, I do want to say I am hearing that they're close to hiring a new offensive coordinator, that they're in the process of looking at some guys. I'm expecting that it's going to be somebody from outside of the organization, not Brian Billick, by the way, but outside of the organization is going to be the next offensive coordinator. I'm not expecting any news this weekend, but you may get news next week on the next offensive coordinator. My understanding is it is going to be somebody that's coming from outside of the organization.
But not Billick. The move to hire Billick as a coordinator was not a preemptive strike to replace Zach Hill with Brian Billick. All right.
No.
The golf tournament hailed as the People's Open returns to the TPC Scottsdale. As the Waste Management Phoenix Open tees off on February 7th and runs through February 13th, head to the contest page at arizonasports.com right now. Your chance to win tickets plus one lucky winner will win Greenskeeper passes. Remember all that talk a couple years ago about Devin Booker being unhappy and wanting to go to the Minnesota Timberwolves? It's kind of laughable now, but now we've got a matchup tonight between those Timberwolves and the Suns, and yet another slew of rumors about Phoenix as we get closer to the trade deadline. We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, afternoons.
Back here with you on the Burns and Gambo Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, hanging out with you on this Friday afternoon, where tonight, 7 o'clock, Footprint Center, downtown Phoenix, a matchup of two teams that have been part of a running dialogue and conversation for a number of years. Now, it stopped about a year ago.
That's true.
There was no reason to have any more conversations about it after about a year ago or so. But for the longest time, these two teams just seemed married to each other.
Married?
In the sense that every single time we started talking about the future of Devin Booker, one way or another, the conversation kind of turned to, is Booker going to go to Minnesota to play with his guy? Or are Minnesota's guys going to come here to play with Devin Booker? And do they need to make that happen to make Devin Booker happy? Gambo, I don't miss that talk one bit.
No,
not
would you have the Cat or DA, the whole D'Angelo Russell thing? Remember when Booker was wearing, whose jersey was Booker wearing on the boat? Was it D'Angelo Russell? Was it All-Star? He was wearing his jersey?
I think it was Russell. I think it was Russell's jersey.
Yeah, I think it was Russell, too.
Yeah, I got thumbs up from Eric. Yeah, he was wearing D'Angelo
Russell. Yeah, he was wearing the D'Angelo Russell. Oh, my God, he's wearing, what does that mean? And it was all the speculation that eventually those three guys would be together and play on the same team. And that's just, I agree with you. I'm very happy that those days are long gone.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I don't miss them. It was, made for fun speculation. It nearly gave you a heart attack or two over the course of time. And I'll give Minnesota credit. 24-24 on the season, they're right in the thick of things. Where they're having a surprisingly good season, not a great season, but certainly a better season than we've come to expect from a team like the Minnesota Timberwolves. Usually we think of them being at the bottom of the NBA's Western Conference. Right now, they're the eighth seed. They would be in the play-in. They're having a decent season so far this year.
And if you remember back in November, they gave the Suns a run for their money. The Suns beat them by three in Minnesota back on November 15th. That was a close game. Look, they lost to Golden State the other night.
Last night.
They lost to Golden State last night. They fall back to 500. That was a nationally televised game last night. The Suns were off, so you know that's an advantage for the Suns. But yeah, you gotta get to mediocrity sometimes first, right? So that's what you're seeing with this Minnesota team. You're seeing them get to mediocrity, and then they'll try to make the moves that they can to try to become a playoff team. They're not a threat in the West right now. They're not a team anybody's looking at and saying, oh, you watch out for them. It's more the Memphis Grizzlies are that team that's coming up. But, Anthony Edwards, he's a good player.
Oh, he's a stud.
Yeah, he's a stud. And then Karl Anthony Towns is still playing. He still plays at a high level. He's, I think, top 15 in points and rebounds. So he gives them a lot. So that's, it's not a bad team, and you got to be ready to play them because, obviously, they're playing hard and they're trying to make the playoffs.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards versus Devin Booker is going to be a fun one to watch tonight. Edwards has been on an absolute tear. Bright Side of the Sun points out he scored 92 points in his last three games. He's needed only 62 shots to get to those 92 points. So he's obviously playing very, very well. We don't know if D'Angelo Russell is going to play tonight. He had to leave last night's game against Golden State early with a bruised shin. So we'll see if he's available tonight. No Patrick Beverley tonight. That's a real shame. We're all going to miss that guy. And then for the Suns, of course, still dealing with Cameron Payne and Ayton and JaVale McGee and Jay Crowder and all those guys that, unless there's some sort of change before tip-off, we're not expecting any of those guys to become available. Let's turn our attention to the trade deadline. Today is January 28th. The trade deadline is, you're just about 2 weeks away now. I bet it was 2 weeks from yesterday. February 10th is the exact day. Yeah, it was 2 weeks from yesterday. Remember what James Jones told us when he was on with us Wednesday? I asked him if he was going to be aggressive going into the deadline, and he kind of laughed it off a little bit.
I mean, I always love that question. People are always like, how aggressive will you be at the trade deadline, and how aggressive will you? And I'm always the same. I like my team. I like what we have. If opportunities come to improve my team, I'll look at them. But every team's trying to do the same thing at the trade deadline. So unless you're catching someone who absolutely does not want to compete, you're really talking about lateral moves. And, I trust our continuity and our flow.
That being said, longtime NBA writer, very well-respected, Mark Stein of the New York Times, wrote this morning, quote, despite indications this week from Suns GM James Jones that he is prepared to stand pat with the West-leading Phoenix holding the league's best record, there are rumbles emanating from the desert that the reigning Western Conference champions have discussed pursuing another shooter for the bench, with Landry Shamet shooting 37% from the floor in his first season as a Sun. That's it. I don't think there was anything else that he wrote. But that's what he wrote about the Suns. Trade deadline's less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah, I would fault the Suns if they weren't having these discussions. You have to have all these discussions. And James is going to have all those discussions. But in the end, I would be, I'm leaning towards him not pulling the trigger on a trade and adding salary for this year and salary for next year. I basically ruled out Eric Gordon. I don't think Eric Gordon is going to happen. And we'll have new names that come up and we'll find out about those. I mean, I think it's prudent to take a look at what's available shooting-wise and seeing if you can get another shooter because, if you could just replace Landry. Look, that doesn't mean that Landry's, off the team, but, they don't have an open roster spot. They would have to get rid of somebody. They do not have an open roster spot. But I'm not that shouldn't prevent you from making a deal if you find a player you really like, or if you move two players out for one, you can make that happen as well with the roster. But I do think you look at it and see, because if you could find somebody to take the minutes that Landry Shamet is taking, you might be better off come playoff.
Yeah, time. I mean I was fine with the Landry Shamet acquisition when they made it. I didn't mind it. I liked it. I wasn't sure about giving him a contract extension right out of the chute. I kind of wanted to kind of wait and see what he was going to do and how he was going to play. he's been a disappointment so far this year. There's the 37% from the floor. He's shooting 35% from the three-point line. We were talking to Kevin Ray, voice of the Suns on Bally Sports Arizona, about Shamet the other day during our round ball roundtable, and he pointed out what is very obvious if you're just watching these games and you're paying attention to body language. Man, Landry Shamet is his own worst critic. He's hard on himself. You can tell, and I think his confidence all season long has just been shaken. He's trying to find it. He can't find it. And I think he's beaten himself up because he has not played well. He has not played well as of late. You look at his game logs, his last five games or so. Gambo, it might force the Suns into doing something that they would prefer not to do. They've got 2 weeks to sort of evaluate Shamet. And if he continues to play as poorly as he's played the last couple of weeks, whether they want to or not might be irrelevant. They might be forced into the position of having to do something to address Landry Shamet. They
might absolutely have to. And I think a shooter is where you want to look. Somebody that doesn't need the ball in his hands, more like an Eric Gordon. You don't want to, you know, there's a difference between a scorer and a shooter. So they don't want a scorer because, you know, Cam Payne plays well and they like what Cam does. And he's at his best when, you know, when he's surrounded by other players that aren't ball dominant. And I think so if you could find a shooter in there, I think that that's something that might fit. In the end, you know, there's a lot of names that always get bandied about. It's more likely they do little to nothing. But I'm sure that they have to start looking at the struggles of Landry Shamet, figure out, okay, how many minutes a game is Landry Shamet getting? And figure out, can we make a trade where those minutes are better utilized by somebody who can come in and shoot better than the, what'd you say, 30-something percent he's shooting?
37% from the
37%.
Floor. 37%. I just ran a search. His last really good game was on January 2nd to start this year against Charlotte. He had 17 points against the Hornets on 6 of 9 shooting. He was 5 of 8 from the three-point line. Since then, in the 8 games he's played since then, he's shooting 29% from the floor, 25% from the three-point line. This is supposed to be your main backup to Devin Booker. And I understand what you said earlier in the week, that they don't necessarily run the offense around Shamet the way they run it around Booker when he's on the floor. I totally get that.
Right.
That is a liability coming into the game when you're expecting points, minutes, and scoring out of that guy. I mean, I understand not in the same sense you're expecting it from Book. 29% on an NBA contender, he's going to get buried come playoff time, and he's not going to see the floor. It might be nice to have yourself another option in case it's still this bad.
Yeah, they don't want to be like Utah with, you know, when you have one guard and he goes out and the other guard's the same thing, right? Book is in the game and he's a scorer. When Book goes to the bench, it really is an opportunity for everybody else to get theirs when Book goes to the bench. So, you know, that's the most important thing. So Book can go, so it's really about that backup two guard spot. When Book goes to the bench and they've got Chris in the game, well, Chris is going to make sure that everybody else gets theirs. That's when Cam's going to eat. That's when everybody that's in the game is going to eat at that time because, you know, Book's on the bench. They don't want to have Book go to the bench and bring in a guy who wants the ball is, you know, a lot. You know, so that's not what they would be looking for. They would be looking for somebody who could shoot the ball and fit in. Because when Book goes to the bench, you don't want a ball dominant guy. You want somebody that's just going to fit in because they're spreading the wealth around a lot. Then
when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, as we get closer to free agency for the Arizona Cardinals, it's crystal clear that one of the big questions facing them is going to be the running back position. In order to keep what they've got, it might get expensive, and yet we know how we feel about spending a lot of money on running backs. How much are we talking? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
And for that, we turn it over to Eric as today's top story of the day. You heard him mention it in the Sports Center update a second ago. Zach Hill out as offensive coordinator at ASU, the fourth of Herm Edwards' 10 assistants to get caught up in this scandal in one way or another. We're cutting right to the quick when it comes to our poll question today, Eric.
Yeah,
simply put,
no need to mince words. Will Herm Edwards be the coach of ASU football a year from today? Yes or no?
No.
That finishes all of next season, and at that time, I think whether it's on his own or not, I think that will be it.
So I think your mic cut out there for a second. So you're a no. Gambo?
Yeah, I would say no. I would say a year from now, after the season's over, no.
Okay. Yep. A year from right now?
Yeah, well, somebody told us we forgot a third option, which is the doesn't matter option as well. But it's a pretty overwhelming.
We didn't want to be completely cynical with our poll questions today, only kind of partway cynical. Well, is it pretty overwhelming?
Yeah, I'm about to say the fan base is being pretty cynical. 82% say no, 18% say yes. And a lot of people not happy with ASU football's current state of events.
Not a lot to be happy about right now. Not a lot to be happy about. They had another very average, mediocre, disappointing season in terms of failing to live up to expectations. Their recruiting has been drastically impacted by this scandal to the point where they're, you know, one of the worst recruiting classes in all of the Pac-12. It's completely hamstrung them in every single way, and it's just given rise to nothing but speculation about the future of the program. There's not a lot to be happy about right now if you're an ASU football fan. Let's just kind of call it like it is, right? There's not a lot there. Not a lot to be happy about.
No, and they've had to, you know, they have had to rely on transfers, right? Transfer portal is, you know, where they're picking up spots. They've lost a few kids. I think three kids that were four-star recruits from last year's recruiting class have transferred. They entered the transfer portal. Chip Traynham was one of them, and there were a couple others. I think Johnny Wilson, and it was one more. But they're getting kids. They got a good running back, and they got a good defensive lineman. So they're kind of going that route to fill out the roster.
Let's turn our attention to the Arizona Cardinals and free agency. And as we get closer and closer to that March 16th date, understand this, that March 16th date is not the end-all, be-all when it comes to keeping your own free agents. If you're the Cardinals, if you're any team in the NFL, and you want to keep one of your own guys, the March 16th deadline is irrelevant. You have until March 16th to keep your own guys, re-sign your own guys. Two guys in particular, Gambo, come at a position that routinely comes under a lot of scrutiny, a lot of conversation, and that's the running back spot. And, of course, we're talking about James Conner and Chase Edmonds, two guys that, when healthy, when both on the field at the same time, were productive, were maybe the keys to the Cardinals' offense being as complete as it was early in the season. The problem for both of them is that they're both free agents. They both could get paid, but that's where it gets real tricky, trying to figure out how much running backs are going to get paid in today's NFL. And conversely, from the Cardinals' standpoint, trying to figure out exactly how much these two guys are worth it with a position that typically teams don't want to pay a lot of money for anymore.
Yeah, and look, they didn't want to pay a lot of money last year. They didn't pay a lot of money last year, and they got good production out of the running back spot, right? They didn't spend a lot of money on James Conner, less than $2 million. They didn't spend a lot of money on Chase Edmonds, so they didn't go out there. Remember in the draft, too, we had talked about, you know, when I put my Gambo 5 together, I think I was, you know, really debating on Najee Harris, because I know it's somebody they really, really liked was Najee Harris, the running back out of Alabama, and whether they would get him or not. I can't remember if he was in my 5 at the end, but I remember just, you know, you remember I was grinding. Do I put him in? Do I not put him in? Do I get him or not? So I know that they were considering a running back early in the draft. They didn't go that way. They kept Chase. They let go of Kenyon Drake, right? They didn't pay Kenyon Drake the money that he wanted. Now, the year before they did, right? The year before they gave Kenyon Drake a pretty good salary.
1 year contract, but it was a pretty good salary. Yeah, it was pretty hefty. Yeah, Connor and Edmonds combined made about $2.7 million. I'm looking right now at a story from Pro Football Focus suggesting that both of those guys potentially could be in line, each of them, to earn about $6 million this year. Pro Football Focus, we project James Conner will sign for around $6.5 million per season, a number that would make him a value versus expected production. Conner, sneakily, had one of the most valuable seasons at the position in 2021, but likely won't be paid near that level of production. So they're saying James Conner going to make about $6.5 million, and he's probably going to be underpaid. Let's go to Chase Edmonds. Edmonds, they write, exceeded expectations for a fourth-round pick, but never really developed into anything more than a situational player during his rookie contract. We project Edmonds will sign for about $6 million per year, which is a little rich in comparison to his baseline projection.
Wow.
The salary is almost exactly the same. They're saying Connor will be a bargain at 6.5, and that Edmonds will be a reach at $6 million per year. So what you spent just under $3 million for the two of them last year. If this is correct, and I don't know if this is, you're not paying $12 million for these two guys. Million years.
They paid Drake, what was like $8 million, I think, was a little bit, $8.5 million that 1 year.
I believe you're correct,
paid him,
yeah.
And I remember you saying, like, I wouldn't go over, I think you said six. I was like, you wouldn't go over, it might have been five.
I think it was five. I think it was five. I'm so cheap when it comes to running backs.
You are so cheap.
It really is. I mean, I'm a normally very generous individual with my money. When it comes to running backs, I am the Grinch.
That's where you draw the line right there. I won't do it.
And for Connor, okay, so it brings up the question, where would we draw the line for these guys?
You can't bring them both back if they're both going to get big money. You target one. Listen, I think this is what I expect. I think they're going to let the market, see what the market does for Chase. And if the market's going to pay him more than they want, they're going to let him go. And I think they'll try to keep James at a reasonable rate, but I don't even know if it would get to $6 million. It might be somewhere in that range, you know, $5 to $6 million. But I expect that they'll try to keep James. He was really good for them. I mean, he was really, really good for them. And he was great in the clubhouse. He's good catching the ball out of the backfield. He was really tough on those yards. So I think that they would like to keep him. And with Chase, I think they really like Chase, but he's had injuries. And I think they'll say, look, go see what the market bears. And if somebody wants to pay you, if somebody wants to pay you $6 million, God bless you, man. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Like, you know, take it. And they'd encourage him. Take that. Because we're not going to give you that. So take it.
And I would encourage him to take it, too. Look, we've always talked about wanting to keep your own draft picks, right? We've always talked about, you know, drafting guys and giving guys those second contracts and how you, in particular, view that as the sign of a truly successful draft pick. A guy that you want to keep on a second contract. I do think there is a filter, though, that we have to kind of apply to that. And the filter is the running back position. And for the running back position, man, you could make an argument that for a fourth-round pick, what the Cardinals got out of Chase Edmonds was plenty of value as it is. And if you could find another running back like Chase Edmonds in with one of those comp picks that you might get if Adrian Wilson leaves for the Jacksonville Jaguars, if you could find yourself another Chase Edmonds right there in that spot and use him for the next 4 years like you did Chase Edmonds and pay him next to nothing to do it, that's value. And keeping a running back on a second contract, especially one who's as injury prone as Chase, it's just bad business. It's not a good football.
Yeah. So
decision.
You agree with me, right? You bring back Connor, and if you can get Chase on a good deal, you do it. But somebody's going to pay him $6 million, you're not going to go there.
I don't even know if I'm bringing back Connor at $6 million a year. That's expensive. That's
always running backs out there that, you know, if you wait it out, you can remember. I mean, Connor wasn't even their first choice last year.
No.
So if you wait it out, you can always get a running back at a good price.
Yeah.
You just got to be patient. You got to wait it out. And all of a sudden, there's 10 running backs that haven't been signed by anybody. And then you got the pick of the litter.
Yeah. There are certain positions and guys I'll go blank check for. I won't go blank check for running back, and I won't go blank check for James Connor. I won't do it. It's a storied rivalry with both fan bases. They're out for blood. Well, actually I'm going to take that back. It's not really a storied rivalry. It's been mostly a one-sided rivalry between these two fan bases in the state of Arizona. Tommy Lloyd is getting his first crack at ASU versus U of A. It doesn't sound like he's all that impressed. We'll tell you next why he said that on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, afternoons.
As my friend John Gambadoro would say, not for nothing.
Not for nothing.
Not for nothing.
Got a lot of phrases. I've used some on my wife. She has no idea what I'm talking about. When I say, like, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? She goes, like, where did you get that from? I don't know where I got it from. We always use it. Or I'll say, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And she's like, do you make this stuff up? I'm like, no. Like,
no,
that's ingrained in my brain.
That's actually a thing.
Ingrained.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with the price of tea in China? You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And she looks at me like I have two heads. Like, where do you come up with this stuff? I'm like, I don't know. We always used to use those terms.
Those are the things. And not for nothing is one of your favorites. And
not for nothing.
And it's basically, for me, it's my way of saying this has absolutely nothing to do with what we're going to talk about. But there's a story on our website at arizonasports.com from our own Tyler Drake, who covers the Arizona Cardinals for us at ArizonaSports.com. You're familiar with the social media platform LinkedIn, Gambo? I don't think you have an account, but are you familiar with it?
You know, I can't believe that you just said that. I got a notice in my email that somebody, like, I don't have a LinkedIn account.
Okay.
But I got a notice in my email yesterday that, like, somebody was trying to like look at my LinkedIn account, but I don't have one.
You sure you don't have one if someone's trying to look at it?
I can't, I'm positive I don't have one. I've okay. never had one.
Right, I was just checking. It's basically
positive.
Eric, our producer, is going to look up to see whether you have a LinkedIn.
Look it up. I mean, I wouldn't even know how. I don't have one.
It'd be hilarious if Gambo had a LinkedIn account. Well,
somebody
didn't know
made it for me. I don't have one. I promise I don't have one. But I got like an email yesterday about like having, you know, that somebody tried to view your LinkedIn account. I'm like, how could somebody try to view something I don't have?
Well, for what it's worth, Larry Fitzgerald has a LinkedIn account. And for those who don't know, I am assuming most people do. LinkedIn.
Your profile is looking great. One profile view. See who's looking.
Oh, that's the email you got from LinkedIn? You probably have a LinkedIn account.
There's no way I have one, dude. I don't have one. I promise you I don't have one.
Eric's looking. He's trying to find one right now. Maybe, did your wife create one for you? Did one of your daughters create one for you?
Why would I ever need that?
I have no idea. I mean, unless you plan on looking for a job anytime soon.
He doesn't have one.
He doesn't have one?
I don't know why you got that email. I'm going to send this to you.
Your profile's looking great. Your work and accomplishments are being recognized. One profile view. Huh. See who's looking.
I wonder if somebody in your family created a LinkedIn account and used your email address as the way to make it. You know, so maybe that one profile view was like maybe one of your daughters made one, not an account for you, but made an account for them. They just used your email as the way to make. Like, I still get emails.
I'm sending it to Eric.
I get emails all the time.
I'm on it, man. I'm on it.
I get emails all the time from my wife's Twitter account because I actually made it for her and I used my email address. I don't know why I just did. So I get emails all the time about her Twitter. Anyway, not for nothing.
Not for nothing.
Larry Fitzgerald on his LinkedIn account.
He's got one?
Yeah, he does. Oh, yeah. Investor, philanthropist, former athlete. That might be the closest thing we get to a retirement speech from Larry Fitzgerald.
LinkedIn. Larry's too busy playing pickleball right these days.
For
Come
those
on.
Who don't know, LinkedIn is like Facebook, but you're looking for a job, right? Facebook, but you're trying to professionally connect with other people in your industry or other industries, and it's got more of a business-like kind of approach in terms of jobs, looking for jobs, I have a job, etc., things like that. His profile, investor, philanthropist, former athlete. I think that just about sums it up. Not that we needed summing up on this one. I think that just about sums it up. I don't think Larry Fitzgerald's going to be playing football anymore. I think he's done.
Yeah,
I think he's good. Like he's been good for a while. He just doesn't feel the need to say anything.
But he's got a LinkedIn. He's got a LinkedIn account.
Yeah,
huh?
He does. Yeah. You know what? I might reach out to him and connect with him. See if he'll.
You could connect with him on LinkedIn.
I sure could. I don't know if he would accept my invitation, but I will. You know, I'm gonna give it a shot.
I have gone my entire life without ever having a job interview.
Well,
I never once had a job interview.
The small minority that you're in when you say that?
I never had a job.
Do you think there's anybody out there who's actually like you in that regard? If there are not very many at all. That is the rarest of rare things.
Nope.
You've never had to interview for a job in your life.
Never interviewed for a job.
Wow. Tommy Lloyd has had to interview for a job, and when interviewing perhaps for the U of A job, I'll tell you what he didn't promote or pump up. And that is his love of rivalry games, because it doesn't really sound like he cares that much about
it. I told you guys before, with me, it's simple. I mean, I don't have, it's just never been in me to have the time and energy to root against anybody. And trust me, I've heard, you know, the fan base, you know, so I know it's a rivalry game, which is really cool. I mean, those are fun to be a part of. And I know the fans make it a big deal. And for me, there's nothing personal about it. You know, I just want to come out, and for us, it's another opportunity to play well and get the result we want. You know, and so we'll see. You know, if over time, you know, I grow more into the rivalry mindset. You know, I mean, just being honest with you, you know, but at this point, you know, I mean, I know it's going to be a fun game. I mean, I know this. I know McHale's going to be rocking. I know the fan base is excited for it, and I love being part of those. So I'm really looking forward to it.
ASU visits McHale tomorrow, 12:30, and wow. It doesn't sound like it's much of a – it's just another game for Tommy Lloyd, right?
Yeah. You know why? Because U of A is one of the top teams in the country, and ASU ain't going to make the NIT.
Right.
Right? Arizona, 16-2, 6-1 in the conference. Right now, they're still number three in the country until it changes because UCLA won last night. they're going to move ahead of them because UCLA beat Arizona and then they beat Cal, even without the kid with the bandana because he, you know, Jim McMahon didn't play in that game last night for them. But Arizona's 16-2, 6-1. ASU 6-11 overall, 2-5. Like they're not even going to the NIT. If I'm Tommy Lloyd, like. You want to draw me into what? You want to draw me into this? What am I going to say? Like, you want me to put something on their bulletin board to get them fired up to beat us?
Yeah.
Like, they're down enough. I don't need to say anything. Like, we're good. I don't need to say a thing about ASU basketball.
Besides,
the coach has been suspended. They can't win games. I'm good where we are.
Besides, you know as well as I do that when it comes to rivalries, this one, ASU-U of A men's basketball rivalry, is a rivalry in name only. Always has been, probably always will be. It's just not a, you know, going back to the Bill Frieder, Lute Olson days, there have been times when U of A's been kind of down and ASU's been resurging a little bit where we thought, okay, maybe this is the start of something, maybe this, it never really has worked out for the most part. I've lived here my whole life, you've lived here for the better part of 30 years, all right? When have you ever really known men's basketball between ASU and U of A to be a quote-unquote rivalry in the traditional sense that we view rivals? Very, very rarely does it reach that point.
No, very, very rarely. I mean, Frieda won a few games against Lute Olson back in the day. He had a few wins. I think one year he actually beat him twice. I think Mario Bennett led ASU to some wins then. But for the most part, no, it's been a very one-sided rivalry for most of the time because U of A is one of the dominant programs in college basketball.
Yep.
And changing coaches and everything, I mean, from even with Lute Olson leaving, they're still putting a lot of kids in the NBA. They get a lot of great players to come play there, and they win a lot of basketball games.
And it hasn't helped that ASU has never really consistently held up their end of the bargain, and that's certainly the case right now going into this matchup. You mentioned Bobby Hurley, suspended for the one game against USC, fined $20,000, and more questions about kind of his future and his ability to get this program back on track, because he had it on a track a couple of years ago, and between COVID and misreading his roster and not putting enough emphasis on the chemistry like he did last year, it's kind of derailed the program right now, and it's got some people wondering. We talked about this a couple of days ago, but there was a column today by Greg Hansen, long, long time Tucson writer, who has suggested that whatever window that was open for Bobby Hurley to turn the program around has closed on Bobby Hurley.
Fascinating. I saw this today in the Arizona Daily Star. He said, this is what Greg Hansen wrote. He's been a longtime columnist there, does a good job. He goes, I can't remember a more agitated me versus the refs persona in the Pac-12 than Hurley. And he talks about Cal's Lou Campanelli, UCLA's Walt Hazard, even Sean Miller, extremists. But Hurley is unchallenged as the Pac-12's most likely to lose it basketball coach of the last 40 years. And he talked about, you know, the fine and the inappropriate behavior. But then the most important thing was this. Hurley failed to take advantage of implosions, coaching changes at UCLA and Arizona, and has been unable to take the Sun Devils to higher ground. ASU has won a single NCAA tournament game in his 6 seasons, and that was in a play-in game as an 11th seed. One more. Hurley is 110-94. Herb Sendek was 120-109. Same record, yeah, basically.
Basically.
Basically the same record. So, I mean, he's basically saying that they blew it. They had their chance. UCLA was going through turmoil. Arizona was going through turmoil. This was the chance to take advantage of it. But he also points out, and this is important too, right? Arizona spent $100 million to redo McHale. You've been in McHale as a student. And I don't know if you've been there since, but they put $100 million into McHale. Pauley Pavilion in UCLA, they just put $140 million into it. And in ASU, that basketball arena that opened in 1974, they have put, to this date, $74.14 into it.
What, do you have the receipts?
$74.14.
Did somebody send that amount to you on your LinkedIn page, Gambo? Is that how you're aware of it?
LinkedIn page. Okay, maybe that's not true. But UCLA did spend $140 million. Arizona did spend $100 million. And ASU, that arena, it's either the worst or the second to worst in the whole Pac-12.
Yeah, doesn't help. It's certainly not. Bobby Hurley had a real chance to start a fire in a good way, stirred a fire with that program a couple of years ago.
Okay, Billy Joel.
And he didn't. He was not able to take advantage. There was a spark there. It was starting to get going, and ever since then, it has been nothing but rain all over ASU's spark, and I don't know if Bobby's going to be able to get it back or not in time for it really to kind of fire back up again. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, it's the magic number, or is it going to be the magic number this weekend? Rams-Niners for the third time. Is it a charm for the 49ers, or is their charmed run in the postseason about to come to an end? That's next on the Burns and Gambo show.